Father, today we cry out to you and we ask for your help. Father, I ask, O God, that you send the fire. Send the fire of your word. And Father, I ask that you visit every altar this morning. Father, the altars that we've broken down, that we've left, Lord, we ask that you, O God, visit us again. Lord, in this season of the pandemic, Lord, in this season where the angel of death is passing through the land, Lord, I ask in the mighty name that is above every name, that you cause us, O God, to return to our first love. Father, that you cause us to see you again. Father, I ask, O God, that you cause us to lift our eyes and our heads, O God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for a revival in today's meeting in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray, O God, for an outpouring of the encounter you had with me, O God. And Father, I pray for a greater dimension, O God, upon your people. Father, those in the hall, those at home, Father, those that would encounter you through this meeting, Lord, I ask, O God, that you touch something in our lives. Father, let it be said that we have been with you today. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue the Bible study that we started on Thursday. And I ask, please, if you have your writing materials, write. You know, the Spirit says, the Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in the book of Revelation. And it says, write the vision down, make it plain, so that he that reads may run with it. If you're making notes, if you've never made note, today is a good day to start. Because God is about to move mightily in this place. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, we're going to be reading a lot of scriptures. Revelation chapter 2. In the book of Revelation chapter 2. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave an indictment. An indictment on the church. The church in Ephesus. It says to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know what you have done. I know how hard you have worked and how patient you have been. I know that you cannot tolerate evil people, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found that they are liars. You are patient. You have suffered for my sake. You have not given up. But this is what I have against you. You do not love me. You do not love me now as you did at first. You do not love me now as you did at first. Think how far you have fallen. Turn from your sins and do what you did at first. If you don't turn from your sins, I will come to you and take your lampstand from its place. Friends, God spoke to us ahead of time that in this season, we are going to come into the era, into a time, into a state where we are lukewarm. Revelation chapter 3. We are neither hot, neither are we cold. We are moribund. Why? Because we have left our first love. We do not love God the way we loved at first. When you first gave your life to Jesus, when you encountered God, your Damascus experience, your born again experience, you were filled with so much hope, so much love. You encountered him in a great dimension. When you first got married, you were buzzing. You were so excited. When you first had that child, you were delighted. You were over the moon. When you got that admission, when you got that job, you were thanking God and you were praising and worshiping him. But the Lord has come with an indictment. You have forgotten your first love. And he's saying that the fact that you have forgotten your first love is a sin. We are neither hot, neither are we cold. We are just coasting along. We come to church, but we don't come to Jesus. We come to Christianity, but we have not come to Christ. The cares of this world have come in and have choking our love. And what is the impact? The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading from verse 27. I told us we were going to be reading a few scriptures. I'm just going to take my time wherever we stop. It follows that after one of you eats the Lord's bread and drinks from his cup in a way that dishonors him, you are guilty of sin against the Lord's body and blood. So then, you should each examine yourselves first. And then eat the bread and drink from the cup. Examine yourself. Each examining himself. Each examining himself. I'll come to that. For if you do not recognize the meaning of the Lord's body when you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you bring judgment on yourself as you eat and drink. This is why many are sick and weak, and several have died. If we would examine ourselves first, we would not come under God's judgment. Friends, one of the dangers of us being lukewarm in this season is because judgment is coming and has already come. Many are sick in the church. The church that is meant to be the pillar of truth. Many marriages are sick. We are having more divorce happening in the church than outside the church. Many, I'm not saying most. I don't have the statistics. Brother is rising up against brother in the church. A brother is taking a sister to court in the church. Brethren are not speaking to themselves in the church. People are defrauding one another in the church. People borrow and not pay back in the church. People have become gossips and talebearers, going from house to house. Now it's a lot easier, from WhatsApp group to WhatsApp group, spreading lies. We are weak and sick. Why? Because we have eaten the Lord's body unworthily. Because we have forgotten our first love. And the Lord is saying, think from where you have fallen. Where did it go wrong? Examine yourself. Second Corinthians chapter 13, Verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Reading the NIV translation, I know you might have another translation on the screen. It says, examine yourselves. Don't examine the person sitting next to you. Don't examine your husband. Don't examine your wife. Don't examine your children. Don't examine your boss. Examine yourself. Yourself, myself. To see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. Examine yourself. The theme for the month is, how do I stop my love from growing cold? It starts with us realizing that we need to examine ourselves. Examine yourself. Praise the Lord. Why do we need to examine ourselves? Can we go back to where we first encountered him? Can we go back to the beginning? I told us on Thursday, that love, I wanted to start from the end. I told us that love is a weapon of warfare. The most powerful weapon is love. Let's look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, 1 to 4. Acts of the Apostles 2, chapter 2, 1 to 4. When God showed me this, it blew me away. Before you go there, can you just look at Matthew 3? Matthew 3, 10 to 12. Let me give you a bit of context. Matthew 3, 10 to 12. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. We'll come back to this. The axe is laid at the root of the trees. Revelation chapter 3. It says, if you are neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. But I'm giving you the opportunity to repent, to go back to your first love, to go back to the things, the encounter, to the foundation of your faith. To go back to the foundation of why you said, I do, on the day you wedded. To go back to the promise, to go back to the gifts and the callings of God upon your life. To go back to your purpose as a husband. To go back to your purpose as a mother. To go back to your purpose. Because the axe, God's axe, is laid at the root of the trees. But like I said, I'll come back to that. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit, it's cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he that is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? Talk to me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and?
Fire.
All right. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear the threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He'll baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and okay. Now let's go back to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were. Let me read from them. Yeah. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire. What? Distributing themselves, and rested on each one of them. What came first? Talk to me. What came first? They saw the fire as cloven thongs on each individual. They heard the sound. The room was filled. The people in the room had saw fire on each person. The day you encountered Christ, the day you gave your life to Christ and were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, something happened. You were filled and there was fire from heaven. I will come to that. I'll come to that. Because we're going to Leviticus. When we build an altar, God spoke to us about the altar in January of this year. When you build an altar, you prepare the stones, you bring the wood, you bring the sacrifice, but the fire is brought by God. God sends the fire from heaven upon that sacrifice. And he said, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the day the Holy Spirit came upon us, he came with a package of fire. So fire was lit in your bones and in my bone. Fire was lit in your life. It wasn't a man-made fire. Not the one the sons of Eli and sons of Aaron lit because they died. If you bring your fire, you die. The Lord is saying, I'm bringing us back to the place where I'm reminding you what happened at first. The fire that came upon you, that is in your belly, on your life, I was the one that lit it. But because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, what is this love? The fire of many is growing cold. And what do we do as human beings? In the book of Genesis, the Bible said, when Adam and Eve fell, what did they do? They brought leaves and made a covering for themselves. When the fire has left us, left our lives, we begin to use our own matches, our own lighter to light our fire. Ichabod, the glory has departed. We're not boxing ourselves in our marriages because the glory has left. We're not abusing our children and cursing them because the glory has left. We are offending one another because the glory has left. Oh, Micaiah, follow me. When this fire came that was promised, what happened? What happened? If you read Acts of the Apostles, when this fire came, a continuation in verse 41. Just go there and read it yourself. Bring it on the screen. We're studying. What happened? The fire caused the disciples. Please open your Bible. Open your Bible. Open it. Open it. Verse 41. There was the manifestation of genuine brotherly love. This fire caused brotherly love, a bonding of brotherly love in the church. The disciples went house to house breaking bread. They were selling their stuff. Do you have a need? What's the need? £1,000. I'll sell my shoe. I don't need this Gucci shoe. I sell it and give you because of brotherly love. The fire has been lit. You can't pay your school fees. Oh, my kayagada. This love not in words, but in deed. Love not in words, but in deed. There was no one that lacked, and the people saw the power move. The power was moving. Didn't Jesus say, when you have genuine love for one another, men will know that you are indeed my disciples. And where the brethren dwell together in unity, there's manifestation of power like no other. Nobody is sick. Let me show you something. Let's read it. Acts of the Apostles 2. Let's see what was happening. Love assembly, we have forgotten our first love. We have fallen from our first love. We are self-centered, selfish. We have left our first love. Because the fire is going down. The fire has even departed. He says, examine yourself. Each person, examine yourself. He says, those who accepted this message, those who received the word were baptized. And that day they were added about 3,000 souls. And they continued. Listen, when they were baptized with this fire that came from the throne of grace, the fire, remember, the Lord is a consuming fire. They continued devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship. What does the Bible say about fellowship? It says, when we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. When I have genuine fellowship with you, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. When a couple have genuine fellowship, when a family have genuine fellowship, the blood of Jesus automatically cleanses you without praying. They continued to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who believed were gathered together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as any might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. What did God say to us in 1 Corinthians? Because you are eating this bread. You had your bread, but you said, no, I don't want to share it. Let me go and eat your bread. The people started becoming sick. But at the beginning, it was not so. I'll show something. Romans chapter 5. Let's read Romans chapter 5. You might be wondering, how is that connected? I'll just read verse 5. You can go home and do the study. I'll show you something. Show you something. What does it say in verse 5? Can you see what I'm saying? And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into... Follow me. We're doing a study. Follow me. Because the love of God has been poured out. What did he say in the book of Acts of the Apostles? I will pour my spirit upon you. I baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay, see, watch what is happening here. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through The love has been poured into my heart. The fire of that came that day was the outpouring of God and His Spirit of His love into my soul, into my being, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love is poured out into us through the Holy Spirit. So what happened that saw the manifestation of the disciples and the apostles sharing and working in so much unity, so much love, was because God poured His love through the Holy Spirit into them. God poured into them His love. So the fire that was poured out that day was the fire of love. The love of God that brings salvation was poured out through the Holy Spirit. What love do you have in you today? Do you have the love of the Father poured through the Holy Spirit? Or do you have your own love? This love for God, horizontal and vertical. God's love was poured in them. They appreciated what God did by sending Christ. And they referenced God. And in referencing Him, they started loving other people. Because your love for God is directly proportional to your love for people. If you want to measure how much you love God, it's not in words. It's directly proportional to your love for your enemy. What is the first, Galatians chapter 5? The fruit of the Spirit. What is the first thing there? Open your Bible. And the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 14. The first thing is what? Shout it out. Love. The first thing the Holy Spirit poured in them was love. Anybody, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. If you read down, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you abide in death. You're a liar from the pit of hell. You have never known God, because the thing He poured out is His love. The fruit of the Spirit, the first is love. Unconditional love. Say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Live in love. Love your enemies. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44. But let us see how we can rekindle this love. Do you want to know how? The love in your home. The love that God has for you. So you stop trying to bleach your skin. You stop trying to look like someone else. So you can experience this love. I want to show us how. And we'll begin to bring it to a close. I said we're studying Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6, very quickly. Leviticus 6, 8 to 13 is where we're going to dwell as we begin to wrap up. I'm now going to show you how. You've examined yourself. I'm examining myself. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to examine you to see where we have lost it. Self-examination. Self-telling ourselves the truth. Not examining your wife or your spouse or your relation or your cousin or your pastor or your neighbor. No, examine yourself. Lord, I've missed it here. Lord, I've become cold. Where I'm no longer hearing your voice. I'm no longer walking in the gifts and the calling. I'm no longer doing this out of love. I'm complaining. You're noticing more complaints. You're noticing more weariness. There's no weariness with the Lord. You're noticing you are straining. Jesus saw them straining. Bible says straining at the God. They were straining to row. You are now straining. Your life is a strain. An emptiness. Examine yourself. Be truthful with the Lord. Because if you are not, he can't help you. Leviticus chapter 6. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall itself remain on the earth, on the altar all night until the morning. And the fire on the altar is to be kept burning on it. The priest is to put on his linen robe, and he shall put on undergarments next to his flesh, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire reduces the burnt offering on the altar, and place them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garment, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall keep burning on it. It shall not go out, but the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay out the burnt offering on it, and offer up in smoke the fat portions of the peace offering on it. The fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out. Because of our time, I'm just going to move quickly. If you want the fire of God on your life to keep burning, this fire, God said, must not go out. The fire must not go out. Said the first thing you need to do is you need to take away the ashes. Friends, why are you and I cold? Because we have left our first love. But God is saying, if you want a revival in any area of your life, you must take away the ashes. You must take away the ashes. Ash is a byproduct of burning, of combustion. You must take away the ash. Don't allow it to accumulate. Because if the ash accumulates in your life, it will kill the fire. No matter who you are, if ash accumulates in your life, it will kill it. What is ash? What is this ash? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. What does it say? If you find it, can you read? You are quicker than me. So I'm trying to flip through. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitterness is one of the ashes. So many of us are bitter at God. What is bitterness? Bitterness means regret, severe grief or regret. Something very difficult to accept and bear. Some of us are bitter at God because you gave God 10 a.m. to come through for you. He came at 12 and you are angry. You are bitter against your parents. What they did, they didn't send you to that private school. They sent you to a local school. How dare them? You are angry at your spouse. I told her to put two one fish and one chicken. And rather than put one fish and one chicken, she put a snail. How dare her? Why did your child, you ask your child, why did you come second in class? You're meant to come first. I pay school fees. And you're coming second. How dare you? The older brother of the prodigal, of that prodigal brother, the brother came back and heard music. Heard music that the younger brother just had a baby. And she was angry. Why would they have a baby when we have not? We are bitter. And the Lord is saying it's an ash. Remove it. Bitterness. Remove it or it will kill your fire. Regret is killing our fire. Paul said, one thing I do is I forget about the past. I forget the things that are behind. Another ash is your achievements of the past. Your achievements of the past. Do you know that we were the ones that started this ministry? You know what? We are the ones that did this and did that. And you are basking in the glory of the past and the Lord has departed. What is the ash? Oh, that's where I used to pray 5 hours. I used to. Is an ash that you need to throw away with. The Lord said, pack it. Put it to the side. Change your garment. Then take it outside the camp. Take it outside the camp. Don't leave it. It's defiling your marriage. It's defiling your heart. You got promoted. I didn't get promoted. I'm bitter. The Lord said, pack it. Go outside the camp. Friends, why not ask the Holy Spirit that is here today? What is the ash in my life? What is causing defilement in my spirit? What is making my love grow cold? Expectations that are not met. The country where you are born, they are not meeting up to your standard. And you are bitter. Friends, every ash, do away with it. Bitterness. Galatians talks about the fruit of the flesh. The manifestations of the flesh. Let's look at it. Let's look at the ashes. Galatians chapter 5. Because the Bible says, take away the little foxes, Songs of Solomon. They are spoiling the fire of God in your life. The manifestation, the glory. The glory that God has put in you. The little foxes are killing it. The little living is living in the whole lump. Galatians chapter 5 verse 5. From verse 19. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Debauchery. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, selfishness, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warned you about these things. In the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. Timothy, irreconcilable. These things are killing your fire. If you see any of them, don't tolerate it. Don't keep it, because it would destroy the fire of God and your effectiveness. The next thing God says in that Leviticus is that you must supply the wood. God sends the fire, but you must bring the wood every morning. You must bring your own wood. Where do you get wood from? Where does wood come from? Talk to me. From trees. Remember what God said. He said the axe is laid on the root of the tree. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 20. Proverbs 26, 20. What does it say? Please, if you find it, just read so that it saves me, so that we can hear. It's on the screen, right? Is it on the screen? He says, without wood, a fire goes out. No matter the fire in your life, no matter the grace, no matter the calling, no matter what it is that God has deposited in your life, your love, the love of God in your life, without wood, that love will die. That love will die. Second, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Sorry, 1, 2. First 3:12-15. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. What wood are you bringing to the altar? What wood are you bringing? The Lord said, I'll tell you one wood. He said, any branch that doesn't bear forth fruit, what would he do? He will cut it off. Wood comes from tree. So the branch is a form of tree, is a form of wood. It says, if there's no fruitfulness in your speech, if the way you talk, there's no fruitfulness. Say, let your words be seasoned with salt. If you notice that your words always cause trouble and division and rancor, cut it off. Use that wood as a wood that the Lord will burn. Everything that doesn't give glory to God, burn it. Bring it to the fire of the Lord. Don't entertain it. Don't save it in a bank, in a fixed deposit. Don't preserve it in a museum. It says burn it. You notice the way you talk? You're a gossip? Don't entertain it. Just burn it. But the difficulty is that, you know, sometimes bad character is like bad breath. Have you ever met somebody with a bad breath before? Usually they are the last to know. Everybody will know your breath is not good, but you will be the last to know. That's the way bad character is. Most times you see yourself as, I'm always right. But it's just that I noticed that people don't stick around me. All the men that have come to say they will marry me, they've disappeared. I don't see them anymore. People just avoid me. Check your character. Use it as a wood on the altar. Burn it. Burn it. And can I tell you, do you know that ash Ash causes cancer. Do you know that? Ash can cause cancer. See why the Lord said you should take it outside the camp. Many are sick and weak among us. Why? Because we have the ash. We wear it on ourselves. But I've gone past that. The wood. Burn it. Anything that is destroying the fire of God, the love you have for your wife, any other conversation, any other relationship that is destroying and tampering your love for your wife, burn it. Burn it. Because it will soon choke the love in your marriage. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Don't say, no, no, no. Burn it. If your hand will cause you not to enter the kingdom, cut it off. What is it? Take it to the altar. Let it burn. If it's of gold, it will survive. But if it's not of gold, let it burn. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, he that must come after me must deny himself. Daily, deny himself, carry his cross, and follow. You must supply the wood if you want the fire, the love, to keep growing. The third thing is your sacrifice. So you've taken out the ash, you've put wood daily. Say, let the fire not go out. You must burn fire, wood on it daily. You set your life. The Holy Spirit searches you. You find something that doesn't give glory to God. Bring it in the morning. When you come to offer burnt offering, give it to the Lord. Let it burn so that the fire will continue. Laziness, give it to the Lord. Let it burn. So now, what should go on the altar? Romans chapter 12. We'll stop here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12. When you gave your life to Christ, you were on fire for God. You were on fire for the kingdom. But these cares of life is killing your fire. It's killing your fire. The Lord confronted me. You know, you can be on WhatsApp groups. You can chat for hours. You can chat for hours. But just try reading your Bible. Just try reading your Bible. You and I can watch movies. The Lord, I'm telling you, confronted me. We can watch movies. Hours. Watch football. Hours. You even feel it. But just kneel down to say you want to pray. By the time you know it, you'll be stretching on the floor. By the time you know, you slept. Friends, the devil knows. He weakens the nations. He weakens us because he knows this is where the power is. So what should go on the altar now that we found out that the wood is needed, the ash needs to be removed? What does it say? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Friends, the Lord is not requiring your gift. The Lord doesn't want your offering. The Lord doesn't want your seed. The Lord doesn't want the things you gave, the Lord wants you and I on that altar. The Lord wants us. If this love is going to be rekindled, you and I must die daily. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. We must die daily. We must die daily. When last did you die to the Lord? No. This is the way I was. This is the way I am. Nobody, the Lord can't correct us. The Lord can't tell us, you know, you want to go this, you want to eat burger. The Lord said, no, don't eat it. You said, no, I must eat it. The Lord is infringing on our fundamental human rights. We can't die anymore. Friends, we must die daily. Shall we rise up as we pray? Your love for your children is dying daily. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. What is it that has died or is dying in your life? Do you still love the Lord? Do you still love people the way you did at first? I want you to talk to God. He will provide the fire, but you need to provide the sacrifice. He'll provide His Spirit, but you need to provide the wood. The love in your home is sipping away. The love you have, God put in you to love yourself as a single person, enjoying your season of singlehood. The children He has given you that are for signs and wonders. The place, the job He has given you. Friends, the ministry. You used to hear God as a man hears his friend. You used to pray for people and they were healed. You used to eschew evil. You used to avoid certain company. Friends, why not ask the Lord for help? I don't know what you heard. Maybe the fire has gone out in your life because of the bitterness and sin. Maybe ask the Lord for a fresh fire. Or maybe God has come upon your altar and he doesn't see anything. You have substituted yourself with goats and tithes and offerings. I want you to pray, Father. I know you've started something. I ask, oh God, that you continue with us. Thank you, Father. Let this fire not cease. Holy Spirit, you've been poured, the love of the Father has been poured in us. But Father, we have leakages, we have holes that is draining, the devil is using to drain your love from us. Father, I ask, oh God, don't patch it. Give us a new heart. A new encounter, a new experience with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.